नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 14 गोपाः परस्परं हृष्टा दधी क्षीरघृतां भुवः आसिञ्चन्तो विलिम्पन्तो नवनीतैश्च शिक्षिपुः गोपा ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद इन ग्लैडनेस The coward men enjoy the great festival by splashing one another's body with a mixture of curd, condensed milk, butter, and water. They threw butter on one another and smeared it on one another's bodies. Purport. From this statement, we can understand that 5,000 years ago, Not only was there enough milk, butter, and curd to eat, drink, and cook with, but when there was a festival, it would be thrown about without restriction. There was no limit to how extensively milk, butter, curd, and other such products were used in human society. Everyone had an ample stock of milk. And by using it in many varied milk preparations, people would keep good health in natural ways and thus enjoy life in Krishna consciousness. In gladness, the cowherd men, they threw butter on one another and smeared it on one another's bodies. So the description of Nandotsava, Krishna appeared, and after Krishna's transfer to Gokul Mahavan, the cowherd boys are rejoicing the birth of Krishna. And this verse is showing the climax of the festivals they had. They were so happy that Krishna has taken birth. They started playing and enjoying the festivals. They not only just threw the butter on each other or threw the curd and milk on each other. They did it in a very artistic way. This verse explains that first they gathered the curd, milk and ghee, butter, and first they smeared they sprinkled the milk on each other. Then after sprinkling the milk, they came further close to each other and start smeared the butter on each other's face. And then after smearing butter on each other's face, they grabbed the thick curd and started throwing on each other's bodies. And in this process, the land of Vraja had become moistened with the mixture of milk, curd and butter. It became like a transcendental, moisturous, muddy playground. And in this transcendental ecstatic playing, the gopas, in attempt to throw the curd on each other in loving reciprocation, started falling on the mixture in the mud. Something like what happens in Pushabhishek festival. The beginning, it's just a small, soft rose petals, and then the flower petals become little more moistened. Then in attempt to throw on each other, devotees fall on the ground. Sometimes we used to scatting on the wooden floor full of moisture. Some kind of glimpse we can see. So this is the life which is waiting for the devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna sooner. And this is a simple life of Vrindavan, life of festivals, happiness in Krishna consciousness. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains that in those days, 5,000 years ago, devotees were enjoying life in natural ways, and they had a healthy life. And Prabhupada says they enjoyed life in Krishna consciousness. So, we are not denying the enjoyment. It is not the negation of enjoyment. This Krishna consciousness philosophy doesn't say that there cannot be enjoyment. There is, we propose, philosophy proposes the real enjoyment both in conditioned state as well as in the state of perfection. It is not the philosophy which says that one should suffer now and then this suffering and this suffering leads to the enjoyment in perfection. No. There is austerities involved, but it is not meant for giving unhappiness, but one can enjoy or be happy in life. So, the Vedic system tells us how one can be happy. Intelligently, they design program that how a person can be happy in the material world as well. So, on the other hand, the materialistic society, even though it promises happiness, but never the output, the real result is that of unhappiness and misery. What is the root cause of this? The root cause of this problem is that misidentification of this body, considering body as a self. The soul by nature is always happy. The mind also wants to be happy. In the spiritual world, there is no difference between body and the soul. The soul is full of happiness and the body is full of happiness. And the soul's consciousness, according to the consciousness of the soul, the body also transforms. We hear in the pastimes of great devotees, the body changes according to the consciousness. Different sattvic vikaras, even the gopas are happily playing and they are getting ecstatic symptoms of their body. So the spiritual world, since there is no difference between soul and body, the state of consciousness directly affects the body and the body gets transformed. But in the material world, it doesn't happen. Whatever activity we perform, or whatever activities we performed in our past life, according to those activities, we are getting a body now. And even though we are trying to change our consciousness, but the body will not change according to the consciousness. We are all trying to be a sadhaka devotee, practicing Krishna consciousness. The consciousness, we are attempting to make a change, but it doesn't mean that the body also changes. The body is like a frozen model due to our past karma. The eyes we have is eyes, the nose is a nose. Even if we chant 100 rounds, the nose is going to be the same nose. So the body is the same body, even though the consciousness is, we are attempting to make a change. So here, this scene is nothing but it shows that the spiritual world, the consciousness, the mind and the body, they are all made up of the same substance. But in the material world, there is no such happiness available because there is an improper combination of the happy soul, happy spirit soul, and the dull material body. So it will take long time. The material world, the matter, shares Krishna's, because it's Krishna's energy, it shares the principles of eternity, the future of Sat. The matter is eternal, it shares the future of Krishna's eternality, the Sat principle. The body also shares that Sat principle in its, ultimately the body is also, as a material element, it is there always. And the soul shares in common with Krishna the principles of consciousness and eternality. The conditioned living entities shares the consciousness of Krishna and also the feature of eternality. But the liberated soul shares all the three, Sat, Chit and Ananda. They share in common with Krishna's bliss, and they share in common with Krishna's eternality, and they share in common with Krishna's consciousness also. So matter has one principle in common with Krishna because it's energy of Krishna, the eternality. And the soul, the conditioned living entities, has a common principle with Krishna, that is of consciousness and eternality. But in spiritual world, the spiritual sky and the living entities in the spiritual world, they share in common with Krishna, Sat Chit Anand, eternal life, bliss, happiness, and also that of a full consciousness. So how much ever, so the goal of life is to attain that state. Living entities, we are in a foreign place, we are not meant to stay in a place where things are not in common with our real nature. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that living entities are my part and parcels. Amaiva angsho jiva bhuto. The living entities are my parts. But being Krishna's part, even in our deity worship, before the deity worship began, there is a manasa puja, where even we are in the conditioned state of life, we are advised or we are meditating or we are assuming that we are on equal level with Krishna, in the sense that we are also spiritual. That's manasa puja's science behind manasa puja, that I am actually part of the spiritual world. I am just like the fire, only fire can go with fire. So we also meditate that we are also part of the spiritual substance. So being the part and parcel of Krishna, that is a greatness of Krishna, that he shares all these three in common with us. The matter, how much ever we try, it lacks those quality. Even though Krishna says, Daiviyesha Gunamayi, that this material energy is a divine potency. It is not an ordinary potency, divine potency. But still Krishna did not offer a special state of ananda or bliss to the material potency. It has maximum the sat potency, that's all. It stays eternally. And we, being the conditioned soul, we have this desire to lord over. So we have this consciousness. So Krishna did not, even though the consciousness is covered, but Krishna is gracefully giving us this facility to be conscious. We are conscious. And we are also eternal. The soul always lives. But this consciousness is covered because of our selfish desires. And because of that reason, Krishna doesn't allow us to share the Ananda principle, what he has. We don't have that Ananda principle in the material world because of being separated from Krishna. So we share, Krishna allows us to share his property of eternality. We always live and we have consciousness, we are thinking. But what is the root cause of the suffering in the world? That we are lacking that principles of Ananda that Krishna has. And we deserve, Krishna gracefully given that facility for us. Naturally, we also have all the three, Satchit Ananda. But in the conditioned state, we can only exhibit the eternal principle that even the material world, we always live, even though taking various bodies. And the consciousness is always there. The more we degrade, the consciousness is more covered, but the consciousness is always there. But the bliss, Ananda, is practically its absence. And here in this verse today, we are reading the scenario, the picture of the spiritual world, where Krishna is there, and the eternal living entity, eternal associates of Krishna, who are in Krishna consciousness, they are with Krishna. And they are showing that principle, that how they are in common with Krishna. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, last line, that they enjoyed life in Krishna consciousness. So enjoyment and Krishna consciousness go hand in hand. And that proves that without Krishna consciousness, there is no enjoyment. So, I would like to discuss, going back to the previous verses, that the root cause of this suffering is that we are adamant not to agree, not to accept that there can be enjoyment beyond this body. The word granthi, or the hot knot, granthi nibandhanam, means in tradition, a hard working materialist, he goes and he performs his work and he gets some wealth, say some coin, and he ties his earned wealth in his waist in a cloth and keeps it safe. And again, next day he goes, does some work and gets some more wealth, again puts in the cloth and ties it. And this way he keeps tying every day, opens and ties, and that knot becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And he identifies with that knot, granthi nibandhanam, every day bandhan of, you know, the granthi, the knot. So, we also, from time immemorial, we are also attempting various ways to, with hard work, attempting various ways of accumulation of various identities. I am this, I am that. Where we are accumulated from time immemorial, various identities, and we are attached to that identity. And we are tying it nicely, and we are thinking that is our treasure. So that nibandhanam, granthi nibandhanam, that I am this body, various designation, is so hard. The knot is so hard. Just like the materialistic person, the olden days is called granthi nibandhanam. Now it can be a locker system, that every day he opens his locker and sees how much money is there. That's what his identity is. So this granthi nibandhanam is growing more and more, tighter and tighter, so tight. And as long as this granthi nibandhanam, this hridaya granthi is there, this knot of material attachment is there, there cannot be a spiritual enjoyment. In Queen Kunti's prayer, Srila Prabhupada writes that unless there is material exhaustion, one cannot advance in spiritual life. Materially exhausted person can only advance in spiritual life. So this material exhaustion is possible only when we are convinced that we are not this body. Many times Prabhupada is often seems like saying that all the time, we are not this body, we are not this body. So people say that why it is repeated again and again. Even the scriptures also, very often it is repeated in a very scientific way, that how we are not this body. Because the reason is that this granthi, this hard knot of accumulation of various lifetimes is accumulated more and more and more. And it doesn't go away. It is so simple that we have to accept Krishna as Supreme Lord, we are His servant. And that's it, the door for enjoyment is open. But it's this unnatural state of we are this body is seamlessly becoming natural for us. That's why the scriptures again and again they tell us that we have to come out of this entanglement. So if we go through the previous verses of this, of the first chapter of the 10th canto, how Vasudeva is trying to preach to Kamsa that Kamsa is representing a conditioned soul who is very attached to the body. You can say we are all like those who are attached to our bodies, or can be like a small Kamsa. And Vasudeva as a preacher is trying to tell Krishna, Kamsa, that why he should not be doing activities which are increasing his attachment to the body. And unless we do that, there is no question of spiritual enjoyment. So, in the verse 38 of the first chapter of the 10th canto, now the scenario is Kamsa has captured Devaki's hair and he took his sword and he was about to kill her. But Vasudeva, seeing the predicament, he is trying to stop Kamsa by giving various reasons. So Vasudeva tells Kamsa, Mrityur Janmavatam Veera Dehena Sahajayate. O great hero, one who takes birth is sure to die, for death is born with the body. One may die today or after hundreds of years, but death is sure for every living entity. So Kamsa is about to kill Devaki, and Vasudeva is telling Kamsa, Kamsa, why are you killing your own sister? So Kamsa may say that, I know this is a very heinous act. How can I kill my own sister? I am a civilized person. But I am doing this just because that I want to protect my life. To protect one's life, one can perform. And the first duty of one human being is to protect one's life. One should do everything to protect one's life. So just, I don't want to kill my own sister. Just to protect my life, I am killing my sister. But then Vasudeva tells in this verse, very intelligently, that Kamsa, as soon as the body is taken birth, death is also born with that. So there is no point in you killing, there is no point in you protecting your body. There is no use of killing Devaki to protect your body, because with the body, there is inbuilt principle, with the body comes death also. So don't kill Devaki. But then Kamsa tells, oh, there is going to be death, so for that reason I should not kill Devaki. But you see, if I don't kill Devaki, I'll be died now. The death will come at the end of the body, but I am going to die now, so I want to postpone the death. So for that reason I can kill Devaki. Okay, death is inevitable, it is going to come. So I should not kill. But he says, death is coming right now. I am so young body, I want to enjoy my life. So let me postpone the death. So for that reason, I want to kill Devaki. But then comes Vasudev tells that when I say that death is born with the body, it is not that the death is going to come only at the end of the body, in the sense after 100 years. No, the death can come even today. Adyava abda shatanteva. Either at the end of 100 years or it can come right now also. So Kamsa, there is no use of killing Devaki, your own sister, because death can come at any time. And Kamsa, being attached to his body, he says that you may say that death can come at this time also, but if my body is gone, if the death is going to come, what will happen to me? All the enjoyment of my kingly enjoyment, it will be finished. So since the body is going to be finished, I have to somehow or other enjoy. If the body is dead, then how am I going to enjoy? So I have to do something to keep this enjoyment going on. So then, anticipating this argument of Kamsa, Vasudev tells in the next verse, my dear Kamsa, when the present body turns to dust and again reduced to five elements, it automatically receives another body of a material element. So Vasudev tells Kamsa, don't worry that, you know, if you lose this body, what will happen to you? You are going to get another body. So Vasudev in the next verse tells that Kamsa, don't be afraid that you are going to get another body. So the material society is geared towards enjoyment because they are not sure what they will get next time that they leave on. So we don't know what will happen next life, is there or not, so enjoy life. But Vasudev tells Kamsa that there is going to be next life and you are going to get the next body. And Kamsa, to emphasize his point, he gives two examples. Just like a person puts a step on the earth and lifts another step, similarly, as soon as death comes, you are actually in another body. So there is going to be another body, so don't worry, you will enjoy next body also. But for that reason, you should not kill Devaki and create infamy for you. This body is going to die. This death is going to come. Even if you kill Devaki, to postpone your death, death can come at this time also. But still, you don't have to worry. The body is going to die, but you are going to get a next body. Still, there is scope for enjoyment for you. So don't do this heinous activity of killing Devaki. But then Kamsa tells, that's okay, I'm going to get another body, but see, this body is beautiful. I'm a king body, I'm in a king's body. It is, I'm having so much opulence, so many servants around me. So if I lose this body, who knows what body I'm going to get next time. So I have to stay in this body to enjoy. Then, anticipating this doubt, Vasudev tells to Kamsa that, my dear Kamsa, that don't worry about keeping this king's body. The king's body you wanted to keep is because of, you got this king's body because of your pious deeds of the past life. But if you perform such heinous activities of killing your own sister, the karma, the destiny will not allow you to get this king's body again. Rather, you will not even get king's body. The death can come at any time, you lose this king's body also. So don't worry about leaving this king's body. There is nothing is happening for you, you are just losing the instrument for enjoyment. You are not going to die. Next lifetime, you will get another instrument for enjoyment. So for that reason, intelligently you plan, don't kill Devaki. But then Kamsa says that that may be true, that I am only losing my instrument. But all this your theory of, you know, this is only instrument, the soul eternal and takes another body. Who knows? Who has seen that? We have not experienced that. At the time of death, who has seen that? Who has seen that at the time of death that the soul is separating from the body and going taking another body? We are discussing this series of verses just to say that how Srimad Bhagavatam and Acharyas, they in various point of view, angles point of view, they are convincing us, hammering us that we are not this body. Simple fact, but it is hammered in various ways. So who has seen this? So how can you convince a person that even though we are not seen at the time of death, the soul is leaving the body, the soul is different from the body, how can you convince a person that we can experience that we are not this body, we are soul in this lifetime? So in the next verse, Vasudev preaches to Kamsa, Swapne yata pashyati deha midrusham manoratena abhinivishta chetanaha. So Kamsa, Vasudev gives a logic that, my dear Kamsa, I will give you example to prove that how you can yourself experience that you are not this body in this lifetime itself. You don't have to wait for the death to come. And he gives, just like you are dreaming various bodies. When you are sleeping at the night, you are dreaming that you become like you are riding in the horse, you are walking on the mountain, you become a great millionaire. So all these kinds of dreaming stage you are getting, you are seeing, that proves that you are leaving this present body and you are entering another body. That itself proves that you are something different from this body. Otherwise your body is just lying on the floor, but you are going to another realm. So Vasudeva gives a simple understanding that you actually are not this body by giving a practical example. But then Kamsa tells that may be, but if I don't kill Devaki now, all your theory may be good, but I will lose the enjoyment. Next life I will take another body, okay, but I will take a child body. And the child body, I have to go through all these kinds of, you know, crying and all those things. I can't enjoy my kingly enjoyment. So then for that, Vasudeva again gives reasons to Kamsa, that Kamsa, your killing of Devaki will only produce an unseen bad karma. And your not killing of Devaki will produce an unseen good karma. And that bad and good karma is going to decide your next body. So if you kill Devaki, there is unseen bad karma that is going to give you a bad body, like that of a pig or a hog or a dog, which will make you more miserable in life. But if you don't kill Devaki, if you spare her, not only will be glorified in this life, but that pious activity will give you a better body where you can actually have better enjoyment. But then Kamsa, being attached to his self, not able to understand all these logics. And he wants to continue his heinous activity. So in these verses, we are seeing that the Acharyas, or Vasudev and the Acharyas, gives us various reasons, and they are telling from various points of view a simple fact that I am not this body. Simple fact that I am not this body, even though it is very simple, it is very difficult to understand. very difficult to understand. But the process of Krishna consciousness is so simple that even if a person doesn't understand that he is not his body, by performing this process, one can actually, whether he wants or doesn't want, he will get this understanding. The difference between the bhakti yoga and other processes is that in the other process one can see the result only at the end. But in the process of bhakti, as we discussed in this word, we should be trying our best to analytically understand, or trying our best to be, and we should be striving to understand that how we are not this body. But even if you are not able to do it, but simply by undergoing this process of Krishna consciousness, it automatically happens. The devotional service is so powerful that even before achieving perfection, one can start experiencing its effects. Other process you have to wait till the end, but devotion service is so that just by participating in the process, the Vaidhi Bhakti is nothing but the show of devotional service. We are offering obeisances, we are offering flowers to the deities, we are chanting the holy name. These activities are practically the activities of love and affection. But we are doing it, Krishna, I am chanting your name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but we are sleeping in japa, we are trying to stay awake. And we are, you know, offering arati, but we are waiting when the arati will get over. Or we are going to the holy dham, but you know, when the yatra will get over. So, even though these activities we are doing without proper affection, but before even it gives fruits, it actually gives a satisfaction in life. So, we are discussing in these few verses that how it is, one should, Acharyas gives us various ways to intelligently convince us that the process of devotional service, but we doesn't have to wait till the intellectual conviction or till the fructification of detachment. It automatically gives us satisfaction and happiness in the process itself. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. In one place, in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada writes that Krishna consciousness is such a process that if a person performs it, it drags a person automatically towards his ultimate perfection. But what is the difference? The difference is that if we do it sincerely and with a strenuous effort, the speed is faster. The material exhaustion is not taking place sufficiently, then the speed is very slow. But if there is a material exhaustion and there is a detachment factor is there, then the speed is faster. Otherwise, the speed will be very slow, that we are achieving the perfection, but it takes many lifetimes sometimes. So, for that reason, Srimad Bhagavatam is a scripture, even though it is meant for Paramahamsas, it intelligently, now and then, very often, hammers on us that how this material world is not a place of enjoyment. Otherwise, what is the reason for a person who is already liberated, that's for him the book is actually meant for? Why they have to discuss so much about the miseries of the material world? They have nothing to do with the material world. But Bhagavatam is balancing its presentation that it is a book of poetry which speaks about the pure pastimes of Krishna, but it also speaks about it sympathetically addresses the ordinary living and its conditioned souls, that how we should not be attached to this material world. So we have got this process of Krishna consciousness, where it automatically drags us towards spiritual life. At the same time, if we can endeavor a little further with our own side, that with our effort, the one should cultivate the quality of detachment, the quality of that this place is not actually belongs to me, this body is not actually the source of enjoyment, then it can be more faster. But at the same time, the scriptures also warn us that this Hridaya Granthi, it is such a knot that it is not possible for one to cut oneself. We can only desire. Susrusho Sradhadhanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Bhidyade Hridaya Granthi. The Paramatma is situated in our heart as a guest. And we are such a bad host that we are not looking at him at all. But he, as a kind guest, is waiting when we look at him. So, if the guest Paramatma sees that the host is slightly turning towards him, then he is such a kind guest, he immediately starts acting. Till then he is a neutral witness. But as soon as a living entity turns little bit towards spiritual life, endeavors, then the Paramatma, so gracious, he takes care of the conditioned living entity's life. And then he takes him towards further about spiritual life by giving the spiritual master. And this Hridaya Granthi, this hard knot of material existence, is not difficult, it's not easy to cut. Only when we take to the spiritual life means accepting the spiritual master, he has the potency to cut this Hridaya Granthi. And we can only desire. So what is expected from me is that a sincerity to get out of this material existence and get our affection to Krishna, that sincerity turned into our genuine behavior, sincere desires in the heart, we should be transformed as a genuine desire, genuine behavior in our life, and that attracts the spiritual master, and he cuts the knot of this Hridaya Granthi, the accumulated identity of millions of lifetimes. And as soon as this knot is cut open, then the pastimes of the Lord is revealed, and we can actually be a part of that pastime, wherein we can share with Krishna all the natural qualities of him and us, that is of eternal enjoyment in Krishna consciousness. That is the quality of soul Sachidananda. And that's what we are saying in this verse, that the Krishna, with Krishna, the Vrajavasis are eternally with full Krishna consciousness, enjoying a blissful life of throwing butter and curd and milk on each other with happiness. The material world is basically based on the principle of distrust and competition. Because the attachment to the body, the selfishness creates a distrust, and distrust creates competition. But the spiritual world is that of a trust. So when you are trusting each other, then more than we love us, others love oneself. In the material world, a person loves oneself more than he'll try to love others. And to survive in this material world, a person wants to bring others down. He's not able to trust others. It's a big competition goes on. And there is some trust in the material world, and that is only when a person who is able to dominate others. Okay, I'm a big boss in the company, so I expect trust from my subordinate because I'm giving them salary. But even this trust is very vulnerable. A person is in a vulnerable situation. Anytime even the workers can come together and drag you down. So any place, position in the material world is a survival of the fittest. There is a competition, there is envy, there is a distrust. And for that reason, it is natural in the material world that one has to be selfish and competitive, otherwise you can't survive. But in the spiritual world is a place where that more than we love ourselves, others love us. So if there is that is because of trust on each other. So in the spiritual atmosphere, if there is competition or distress, it is like hitting one's head against one's own head against the wall. Because you think that you love you, but actually you are wrong. Others love you more than you love. So if you are distrusting, if you are having distress or competing with others, that means you are competing with, you are destroying your own life. And that is a spiritual atmosphere. Because others loves you more than. Just like, okay, I have got a piece of prasadam. So I have two choices. I can eat it myself or give it to other devotees. So if I eat it myself, I am getting that piece only. But if I give it to another 20 devotees, break it into small pieces, and those 20 devotees are going to give me that much huge quantity of sweet to me. So I am actually gaining because others love you more than you love yourself. But if we compete with other devotees, or if you don't love other devotees, actually you are hating yourself. Because that is the basic principle of spiritual world, that others love you more than you. But in the material world, it's opposite, completely opposite. So that is a life waiting for us, that we are going to the spiritual world, that we have to love. And the spiritual master is creating a spiritual atmosphere in the material world. It's like a airy place. You are trying to create a vacuum. The material world just around this temple hall is air filled with selfishness. The air which is passing through this temple hall is coming from the other buildings. It's filled with selfishness. Practically the air filled with breaking of all the regulative principles, that the air is flowing through the temple hall. But here the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada and his representative, are creating a spiritual atmosphere within this material world. Or something like creating a vacuum in the space filled with air. Throw all the material atoms out and fill up with the spiritual atoms. And what is the spiritual atom? The spiritual atom is that of trust in each other, loving each other, and serving each other. But what is our responsibility? That we have these atoms within our own body, with our own consciousness, that of selfishness and hatred. So as long as we are not throwing this out, we are actually performing a disservice to our spiritual master who is trying to create this environment. So this is our responsibility, that they are working very hard to create this atmosphere. Very hard work. But if we cannot do something positive, at least we try ourselves to keep our selfishness aside and try to love others, so that we understand that we actually are getting the benefit of, for our own sake at least, we can try to trust others and serve others. In this way, we are getting the benefit. So here is a scene in the spiritual world, that in Krishna consciousness, selflessness, there is a real enjoyment. Milk, butter, and festival. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. Sorry for this boring class. Hare Krishna. Any corrections, questions, comment? Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.